So are you all natural at this point in your life?
Depends on what part of the life. Yes, the garden's all natural.
Listen, so Doug brought me some of these amazing peppers that I will try later, but if I'm not here tomorrow night.
They're not hot. They're hot, but they're not hot. They're like a cayenne heat.
They look beautiful, though.
I just picked them yesterday for you, and people have been using them just like even in breakfast, like in eggs and stuff.
Yeah.
So they're not crazy hot. Like I've got two 15-gallon fabric pots. They're called root pouches. They make them out of recycled water bottles. I love them because they're just big enough to grow a pepper in, but you can still move them. So I've got a super hot one. Both these peppers came from Sorgles, and Braden, who works at Sorgles, is like a pepper nut. And so he started all these cool ones. One's called Pimenta Bella Purple. I talk about it all the time. And then the other one is Jess's Purple Peach. And they're way too hot for normal people. My friend Hot Pepper Dave has eaten them. I sent one to my friend Dave Foreman I used to work with in QED. I've got videos on my YouTube channel or on the website that show these guys eating these super hot peppers.
All right, let's take the 10th caller now to get that Sorgles gift certificate. Alonzo will start answering now. 10th caller, 412-922-1020. So Steve Rapaski's here today.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to Steve about just the impact of the drought. We are still in a drought. And
are we really?
Oh, yeah. We're in south of us is severe drought still. We're supposed to get some rain today, but I looked at the forecast this morning before I came in, and it didn't look too promising, not till Wednesday. So we'll just talk to him about, you know, pollinators and wasps and good beneficial bugs, see how they did, how the season was. And exciting news today. Oh, wait, I got to finish my hot pepper story. Sorry.
Go ahead.
So I took these two, and they're just like shrubs in 15-gallon pots. And put them in the greenhouse because the one, this Pimenta Bella Purple, is filled with peppers. I got to get rid of them. I can't use them for. I guess I could. I might turn them into like something I can put on bird feed so the squirrels don't get them. They're way, way too hot. And then the Justice Purple Peach doesn't have it. The peppers are small. They put on peppers really late. So we'll see how they do. It's always fun to experiment. I've got all sorts of other stuff I in the greenhouse, bunching onions, arugula, and a bunch of different type of lettuces. I'm going to try and keep those going most of the winter, which I do out in the garden too, playing around. But today we have, again, a $100 gift certificate courtesy of flowerbulbs.com to buy bulbs. And all you got to do is go to DougOster.com. Click on the contact button, put something in the subject line. It says, I want to win the bulbs, I'm planting bulbs. Just the word bulbs in there, and then we'll have just a random drawing. I used to use a random number generator to figure out who the winner is. And we'll do this again next week, too. So be sure to send an email to me and get entered. I also planted my first planting of garlic yesterday. Felt so good. I went and got a truckload of compost and put that compost down, and to be able to just push those little cloves into that soft soil and know that they're just going to go nuts. I had a terrible year this year with garlic because I put that, I don't know what I was thinking. I just put it in a bad spot. So this time I've got it going. You'd think after all these years I'd know better. Like I'm telling you, do this, do that. And then I just skimped on the compost, and luckily I grew them in containers. Again, what those 15-gallon root pouches, the fabric pots, I pulled most of my peppers out. I got a few of the hot peppers still going out in the garden, but that'll be done soon. And then I planted some garlic in there. And so speaking of garlic, next Sunday I am having a fall gardening spectacular. Next Sunday, Han Nursery, I will be there at 2 p.m., and I'm going to do a garlic planting seminar, how to plant garlic now for 6 different harvests in the spring. And then afterwards, you get a free head of garlic to plant. And listen to these varieties you can choose from. Music, which is that big white one. I grow a lot of music. But German red, Chesnok red. Chesnok red is a great one, spicy. Krandasker red. Itchalam red, and then elephant garlic, which is actually a leek, but people grow it because they like the big giant bulb, but it's not really a garlic. For us garlic fanatics, we don't plant elephant garlic, but it's not. It's milder, and it's pretty cool. So next Sunday, 2 o'clock, come and see me talk at Han Nursery, and then you get a free head of garlic to plant. And planting garlic, you know me and my garlic, it's just, it's easy, and the garlic that you will harvest is just like a tomato out of the garden. It's just amazing. There's another event going on today that if you don't have anything to do, this is cool. My friend Amy Krutt, she's in Ross. Three sides of her house are surrounded by dahlias. And I went there and I took pictures. I did a story. I did a video. She's holding an open house today. Now, all this information, the Fall Gardening Spectacular and this open house, is all on my website. So today in Ross from 1:30 to 4:30, you can go to this garden and bring your own vase, and they will cut some flowers for you. And they are just in beautiful, beautiful shape. This is the best I've seen her garden. I go every year and do something on it, but it looks great. And she is doing all her dahlias in fabric pots, and it's been very successful. So take a look at those fabric pots as a way to add some stuff to your garden. I probably have 20 of them now in the garden, and I'm just filling them up with compost and planting mix. And it's just a great way to, again, add something to the garden, add some space. My free online garden class on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. continue for Farm to Table, Buy Fresh, Buy Local. This week, it's all about choosing and planting perennials. It's really great to have this interactive class where you can ask questions and we talk back and forth during the class. You can also watch it later. You don't have to watch it live. So Wednesday at 5, my free garden class.
All right, 866-391-1020 is still to come. Steve Rapaski. There's a buzz in the air. Steve Rapaski is here, and to do the introduction, the host of The Organic Gardener is the one and only Doug Oster, DougOster.com.
Our friend Steve Rapaski from Meadowsweet Apiaries and Bee Control is here to talk all about pollinators, wasps, yellow jackets, and drought. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you doing? You're doing good?
I'm doing good. I'm actually up in Warren County today, and we're getting some much-needed rain up here as well.
Oh, we need it down here. So let's recap the season. What was it like for you in dealing with, as part of bee control, dealing with all the pest insects, the yellow jackets, the wasps? Were they affected by drought?
They were. You know, the last several years have been... I keep saying every year was the biggest year ever, and it just outdoes itself. And this year was another big year. What we ended up seeing actually was more of a delay. We certainly saw nests that were out there early, but that drought, you know, every insect out there needs food and water and shelter. And we were missing the water aspect of things. And the nests were there, but we were seeing them as being very small. They weren't growing as quickly that whole month of July. And then when we got that nice first rain there, I think it was early August, it rained for several days or whatever it was there, it just exploded. And those nests went from being small to gigantic. The prey that they feed on, the other insects, caterpillars, whatever it is out there that they're going after, also responded to that moisture content that we got, and it just went crazy, and things picked up, and nests got huge. And I'm looking here out my truck window right now at a European hornet nest on a barn that's probably twice the size of a beach ball. I mean, it is just gigantic. So they responded in kind, and it was a busy year, and we're seeing just, it was crazy, but the drought certainly affected it. I mean, not only from the bee control, pest control side of things, but even on the honeybee side of things, that moisture is critical on so many levels.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about honeybees. How were they affected this summer?
Yeah, well, the springtime was great. We had a very robust harvest of honey, and they were doing fantastic, and then July hit, and that drought hit, and they, we normally hit a what we call a dearth, July and early part of August, which the nectar flow slows down. There's not a whole lot blooming, but it persisted into August, and you know, you want to talk about a good thing out of a bad thing, the spotted lanternfly saved the day. Because honeybees actually will forage, good or not, on the excrement of honey of the spotted lanternflies, the honeydew as they call it, and they actually it's a sweet sugary substance that the spotted lanternfly excrete from their feeding on the various maples and whatnot, and the bees take that back and convert it into honey, and the bees actually did very well, which would normally be a very stressful time of the year for them. The spotted lanternfly saved the day, and that's a good thing because that drought in July also caused an issue with the goldenrod development, which goldenrod is a huge primary nectar source for honeybees in August. And without the rain in July, the nectaries, that part of the plant that produced the nectar of the goldenrod, weren't able to develop correctly. So we actually ended up with a very poor fall nectar flow, as we would call it, when it comes to the goldenrod and the Japanese knotweed.
Does spotted lanternfly honey taste differently than other honey?
It does. But every honey tastes different no matter what, right? So depending on the nectar source, you're always going to have that taste. And I'm hoping to have some spotted lanternfly honey at our Sewickley Farmers Market here in the weeks ahead once I get it harvested and extracted and bottled. To some people, it has a very strong off flavor, but so does buckwheat honey. Right, so it's not going to be for everybody, but it's definitely sweet up front, and there's a different taste in the background. Some people think it's strong. Some people think that it's a bitter taste. I don't seem to mind it. It just depends on what mood I'm in. But, yeah, it's, you know, in Europe, Black Forest honey is honeydew. It's from the aphids that the bees collect in the Black Forest. So it's certainly something that's not new. It's been around. We're just getting it from a different insect here in the United States now.
So how are honeybees doing in general?
In general, they are doing fantastic. We have more bees than we ever had. We've got more beekeepers than we've ever had. We are not in any kind of dire straits as we were back in 2006. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we have to acknowledge that there is still an issue with honeybees. We're still experiencing high losses every winter, you know, 30, 40, 50%, depending on which state you're in, from the four Ps, the pests, the pathogens, poor nutrition, and pesticides, or I should say the misuse of pesticides. So that's not going away. However, what is happening is that we have people that are managing them better. We have more beekeepers now than we did, and the bees are overall healthy. We had a huge swarm season this past spring where there were more honeybees than I've ever dealt with or cared to deal with. It was just swarm after swarm after swarm, and it got to be a frustrating level for many people because beekeepers didn't want to deal with the swarms that they had. They were just overwhelmed. And that's hopefully just a blip in the radar where we don't have to worry about it too much. But the bees overall in general are healthy. We have a lot of bees, a lot of beekeepers, but we do have to keep in the back of our mind that we still have some major issues that need to be researched and controlled if we're going to see long-term sustainability of the honeybees.
We've got about a minute left. Are you getting like a ton of calls during swarm season where people want you to come get that swarm?
Oh, I could quantify the numbers, but it would blow your mind. Yeah, we just took calls after call after call during April and May, and we handled what we could. And of course, you know, we're a small company, and you know, I'm just one man as a beekeeper, but certainly we have a community of beekeepers that were out there, and we tried to handle what we could when we could to deal with them. And, you know, it is what it is, and we might find next year that it's quite the opposite, where we just have a bad winter, and I hope we actually have a winter this year where it kind of stabilizes things, and that's going to go with the yellow jackets and wasp and hornets as well.
Steve, can you hang in there while the break and come back for the another seg?
Yep, he's going to hang in there. So, Steve, you stay there. Doug will stay there. I'll stay here. But we also want to remind you that we are going to take some of your calls. So if you have some related questions for Steve, give us a call, or some gardening questions, give us a call. Fall planting season underway. That number to dial is 866-391-1020. Back with more of The Organic Gardener, Doug Oster, DougOster.com in minutes. All right, 10th caller wins that gift certificate to the farm. Pumpkin Land getting set for another day beginning at 10 every weekend in October. Private groups during the week. If you're the 10th caller, you win that $25 gift certificate to Janoski's. It is 412-922-1020. But back to Steve Rapaski. We've got some calls for him. But here is your host of The Organic Gardener, Doug Oster, DougOster.com.
And we are joined again by Steve Rapaski from Bee Control and Meadow Sweet Apiaries. And Steve, I want to ask you a couple questions before we get to the phones. How can we best help pollinators, since you are the expert on everything from wasps to the good guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, helping pollinators is key, and it's not all about just the honeybees. It's all about, you know, the 400 different species of native bees that we have in Pennsylvania, the moths, the flies, all those good things. And it starts by planting a good pollinator garden with a number of different perennials and annuals. Take your pick. There's a number of them out there, whether it's mints or black-eyed Susans or Coreopsis or you name it. But as we get into the fall here and as we inch closer to winter, more importantly is our cleanup, you know, not raking our leaves or putting them in an area where we can leave them for those insects to hibernate in, leaving dead stems until the springtime, because though it might be slightly unsightly to us, much of that is a much needed habitat for overwintering of these pollinators, whether it's their eggs that develop into adults next year, or whether it's the adults that will overwinter and start their life cycle next spring as they hibernate. So fall cleanup needs to be postponed despite the honeydew lists that are out there. And, you know, if you need to tidy it up, okay, that's fine. But we want to leave up our stands of dead twigs and stems. And, you know, if we can avoid raking leaves for the most part, you know, that's a lot of not only nutrients for the soil in the long run, but that habitat, that environment is critical and crucial to our overwintering success of pollinators.
Did you just tell me I don't have to remove all those oak leaves?
You get to relax for the fall, Doug.
Let's go to the phones. I think we've got a caller for you, Steve.
Okay.
Hey, Mark, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about ground bees. I have a nest of ground bees underneath a magnolia tree that we had planted in the yard. And I've sprayed them with a bee killer and that, but it just doesn't seem to get to them. Is there any way I can get to that nest?
Yeah, we always advise when it comes to nests that are inaccessible, whether they're underground or in a structure, you know, never know want to try to spray it yourself for a number of reasons. One, you don't know where the nest is specifically, so you're just kind of an uphill battle to begin with. Secondly, you could end up getting stung and end up in the hospital, and that's never a good thing, and we certainly don't want people to do that. This time of year, generally, you could ride it out. They're what we call annual nesters. They are going to be dying off here in the next 2 or 3 weeks as our temperatures drop and we get a couple of good hard frosts. So, you know, staying clear of it now is not a big deal. But we also have to keep in mind that a lot of these nests start to begin in July. So when you run into them in July, August, and September, give us a call at Bee Control, because we could certainly take care of that safely, quickly, and efficiently and not put you at risk for any kind of stinging events. But generally this time of year, what I've been advising most people is just to stay clear of it. If you absolutely need us, we'll come out and take care of it for you. That's not a problem. You can give us a call at 412-765-0335. But at this stage, give it a couple of weeks and they should be gone.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for your call, Mark. Now, Steve, what is the mood of a ground bee this time of the year? Don't they get nastier at the end of the year or when it gets cool? Go ahead.
They do, and that's a good point, Doug. And you know, that's another reason why, you know, when I talk to my customers moving forward these next couple of weeks, I give them a couple of options, because yes, you could leave them, but at the same time, their temperament changes and they can get nastier because a couple of things are happening. Their prey source is going away. So they become hangry, right? They're hungry. They're more aggressive in their hunt for other insects. And then on top of that, they are producing dozens, if not hundreds, of queens that will ultimately go out into the landscape and hibernate. And yes, they may hibernate in those leaves that you leave behind, but they go across the landscape and hibernate. And then next spring, they spread out across the landscape even more to begin nest. July and August, they're not as aggressive. I talk to customers all the time who, I ran over it four times with a lawnmower. They didn't bother me. And that's because, yes, I mean, they would bother you, but they get as we get closer to those frost dates in the fall and they start to collapse, they get meaner and meaner, and that's where you have to be very careful in dealing with it yourself.
And you said it takes a couple frosts to shut them down.
Contrary to popular belief, it's not just one frost and done. I mean, two or three nests, because you have to remember these nests are underground, so they're protected by that geothermal heat that's coming out. And it could take a couple of times of heavy, hard frost and the lack of prey items for them to die off. Same with the ones in the houses, you know, the structures. You're going to have... It might be, you know, first, second week of November before we actually see a drastic drop in the nest activity as far as survivability. But in either case, they do not survive the winter.
Is it a myth that you can go out at night to try and deal with a yellow jacket nest?
Oh, my. There's so many myths. We could do a show on just that, on what not to do. But, yeah, you know, contrary to popular belief, they are still active at night. They could still fly at night, regardless of whether you put a flashlight on them or not. Are they more dormant? Yes. But the problem still lies in that the nest can be in a location where you're not familiar with, and meaning that the entrance hole doesn't mean the nest is right there. The nest can be to the right or left 2 or 3 feet. It could be down and to the right, you know, a few feet. So the nest is never really accessible to the average person. And as you start to mess with it, you know, they haven't, sometimes will have 2 or 3 exit holes, which as you're pouring water or whatever down one hole, they're flying out the back end. So yeah, you never want to, it's just a general healthy practice to not mess with it. It is a health issue if you get stung and end up in the hospital, and we don't want to see that for a lot of our people.
Got time for a call, Rob?
Yeah, let's take another call. Let's go to Eleanor in Wexford on the air with Doug and Steve. Go ahead, Eleanor. Welcome to KDKA.
Good morning. We're having a little trouble with our front lawn. We're having holes dug in the front lawn about 3 inches wide and about 3 inches deep. And the sod is dug up for about 10 feet. And I was wondering if what type of animal would be doing that and what are they looking for?
That sounds to me like skunks and possums and looking for grubs. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, skunks and raccoons, 100%. They like to dig for grubs, and that's where that tells you that you have an issue with grubs in the ground, and that's something you can treat with a number of different products out there. Doug, you would probably can address that, but there's a number of products that you could address to keep the grubs at bay. And I will mention real quick, you will find out that skunks and raccoons will dig up yellow jacket nest underground this time of year as well. It's a protein source. So one big hole is going to be yellow jacket nest that they ate. Multiple little holes like you described are going to be skunks and raccoons for grubs.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, that like we talked about with Steve earlier about the yellow jacket nests, when it gets cold, the grubs go down deeper. And so this is really a problem all over the place right now, but it's going to subside as it gets colder. And then I would recommend dealing with the grubs next year when we get warmer temperatures, warm soil temperatures, and the organic controls are these things called beneficial nematodes, and you put them on, and they're just like these little microscopic things, and they hunt down the grubs. So, again, this is going to be over when it gets cold. Steve, thanks so much for
thank you.
Getting to us from Warren County, and we will talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, Dave. Thank you.
All right, coming back to wrap up the show. If you want to get in here with a question, give us a call. One more segment with Doug, 866-391-1020. Next hour, Cooking with Candy on the Coons Cooking Hour. You know, all of your sponsors this time of year, it's a beautiful time of year, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. How do you feel about fall? Do you like fall?
I love it. Absolutely, absolutely love everything about it.
I just dread that winter's next.
Only thing I miss from when we were kids or when I was a child, the burning of the leaves, that smell. I mean, if somebody could put that in an aerosol spray can, I'd buy every can I could get my hands on.
I bet you they make candles. I bet you they make candles with that scent.
I loved it. You know, and just the nights kind of getting a little chilly, and, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's and these wonderful places, and Sorgel's and Janoski's, and so many of your sponsors, they just, they're very inviting, a lot of family fun, good place to be.
So just a reminder, next Sunday, I will be holding a free garlic planting seminar, and then you get some free garlic to plant. It'll be at Han Nursery at 2 p.m. Today, going to be in the 70s. I'm starting to dismantle the garden. Anything that doesn't have tomatoes on it is going into the compost pile. Anything that doesn't have peppers on it. any of that tender stuff. I'm starting to clean up a little bit. If you've got tomatoes left on the vine, you can leave them on there for a while. Keep watching the weather. But if you want to just close it down because it's going to start to get cold, that little trick I talked about last week where you take the tomatoes off and you put them in a bag with an apple, that apple produces a gas that makes them ripen, and you'll have tomatoes all the way, hopefully, till Thanksgiving or beyond. This is also a good time to save seeds, and all the information about saving seeds is at my website, DougOster.com. It's really fun and easy. If you think about it, all it is you're just jumping in on nature. Just when before these plants drop their seeds, you're swooping in and you're saving some of those seeds. Things like beans are certainly easy enough. You see when the pod dries out and you just kind of crack it open and there are your seeds. So there's some other little things, especially when it comes to tomatoes, but all that information is at DougOster.com. And I haven't talked about my trip to England in a while. It's about half full right now, and we're not going to England until May. And so this is another great trip because we're going to see the Chelsea Flower Show and tour the gardens and the city of London. And with a direct flight, oh, that direct flight makes all the difference in the world. We'll see the Chelsea Flower Show, St. Paul's Cathedral, Westminster Abbey, Tower of London, Hampton Court Palace and Gardens. I like that one. I haven't seen that one since 2013. St. James Park, these other gardens that I love, Wisley, Savile Gardens. And then for me, besides the Chelsea Flower Show, which is unbelievable, Sissonhurst Castle and Gardens. They have this beautiful white garden. It's out in the country. It's a cottage garden and just filled with flowers. And again, if that trip sounds good to you, you can find that information at DougOster.com. Now, I do have some questions from listeners. Just a reminder that I always do answer your questions if you send me an email through DougOster.com. I always answer questions. If you do not get an answer, I did not see your question or it just got pushed down to the email. Don't be afraid just to send another one and say, hey, did you see this? Because even this morning at like 6:30 in the morning before I came to the show, I was answering. Somebody had four garden questions for me. So Darla wants to know, I've got a question about my asparagus patch. How do I thin out the patch, and when do I cut the ferns back? Well, first off, you probably shouldn't thin it out. You should just let it do its thing. Because if you get in there and start cutting things to pieces, it's not going to be good. But the ferns, so what asparagus does, it early in the spring, you get the spears, and you harvest the biggest ones. Nothing smaller than a pencil ever gets harvested. And then those spears, they turn into ferns, and you don't cut them back until they turn brown. It's like most things in the garden, perennials, that big fern, or frond, actually, they call it, when it turns brown, it's sending all that energy down into the roots. And then I would mulch right away. Once you take those fronds off, I would mulch right away with the thick layer of straw. That will help with weed control next year. And maybe a little bit of fertilizer in the spring. And one more question she had, what do I do with red berries on the plants? Can I just spread them out in new soil and start another row? You sure certainly could. It's going to take many, many years to come up with a plant that's going to make you nice, really nice spears. But there's nothing wrong with experimenting. If you've got the space, why not? Whenever we're dealing with anything like asparagus, that bed's going to be there for 50 years or longer. And so you really want to improve the soil. Like I was talking about planting my garlic earlier in the show, putting down a nice thick layer. If you're going to put seeds of asparagus down, put a really nice thick layer of compost down, or digging in some compost is going to make a big difference in your garden. All right. That was a lot of fun, Rob. Thanks for being here as always.
We had some fun.
Yes, we did.
All right. Stay with us because coming up, you want to do your little close?
No, I don't have it here. I have to remember it. Remember, gardeners. Let's see if I can remember it. Remember, gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
There you go. There you go.
I remembered something, even at my age.
That's a wrap. News next, and then Cooking with Candy. Frank Dentici is here.